And that is, he wants peace of mind and contentment of heart. Everyone is looking for it, wherever it is. Doesn't matter who those people are, even those who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have got different kinds of belief, they are also looking for peace of mind and contentment of heart. And to that end, we find that they have made so much of effort in different ways in trying to bring about this peace of mind and contentment of heart. They do various kinds of things just so that they can achieve this. If we have to look at the field of technology, for example, and inventions, it boggles the mind what has been achieved and what has been brought up and what people have come up with in terms of technological advancement, all directly and indirectly linked up to keep the heart, to give peace to the heart. So where it comes to applying, comfort, looking for comfort, we find that people are making all kinds of gadgets, all kinds of devices, when it comes to furniture, and when it comes to even changing the atmosphere in the room, when it is very hot to make it cool, when it is very cold to make it warm, and 101 different kinds of things are being made. When it comes into the field of communication and traveling, transportation also, we find what advancements have been made there so that a person can quickly reach one place to another and he can get himself sorted out. He wants to have least amount of harassment and hassle and worries and anxiety. And even the mode of his transport, if we have to look at the kinds of things that are put in the various vehicles or in the plane or whatever he's traveling, so much of comfort is put there also, all so that the heart can get peace. So there we find a lot of things have been made. Then if you go beyond that, we find it comes to looking for contentment and peace of mind, we find it comes into the food field. We find what and not kinds of food have been made up and are being made, and how those foods are presented and how those foods are served and how they are marketed. And so many things are mentioned about those foods so that somebody can think that, you know what, I will find my peace of mind if I have a certain kind of a food. And then there are those people who have gone beyond that in medication, for example. They are looking for all kinds of medicines to give them peace of mind and contentment of heart. And in this way, it carries on. There are those people who feel that when we have got wealth, then we will have peace of mind. I must just get the few millions, then I'm set. After that, I'll be okay. But they must ask those who got those few millions, are they really okay? Have they got peace of mind? When you hear it from the people who have got it and they say, you know what? They say, this is nothing. This is an illusion. Then you must know it's coming from someone who knows about it. So in this way, we find that even there they are looking for it. Then others have come up with so many different kinds of therapies to get this peace of mind, contentment of heart. They go to all kinds of resorts and they go to all kinds of exercises. They are doing 14 steps to this and 7 steps to that, looking for that same peace of mind and contentment of heart. And it carries on in exercises, like you mentioned, people are doing that. Some people feel if they are holding certain positions, then they will have that peace of mind because they feel that in there is everything. So they are making an effort for that. Now the question we have to ask ourselves is that after having acquired these things, did they really find peace of mind and contentment of heart, yes or no? So yes, maybe to a certain extent, to a little fraction. And was there peace of mind or contentment of heart? No, it was not peace of mind, contentment of heart. There was a little bit of comfort and relief for the physical body. So the heart, the ruh, the soul didn't get anything. Now from there we come to this point here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us with a body, physical body, and a soul. So all these things that we mentioned where people are making an effort to give comfort and peace is actually for the physical body. All these things are temporary. They are all experiments. Sometimes it gives peace. Sometimes it gives comfort to the body. Sometimes it doesn't give comfort. And we find people, they are worse off after that. Sometimes people have got the gadgets and the things that are supposed to give them the peace. They have got all the comfort there. But they are living in their mind, they are living in a hell. They just are not peace of mind at all. Like, I'll give you an example. One fellow, he robbed a bank and he put all the money in 2 suitcases and he ran off from there. And he was very happy. And somebody told him, you know what? They're after you. They know you took it and they're coming. So he saw the nearest hotel and he jumped into the hotel and he booked in a 5-star hotel. He had all the money. But when he was in a 5-star hotel, He was sleeping in the best bed, but could he sleep? No, he couldn't sleep because every movement he hears by his hotel door, every time he hears a police siren going outside there, he panics that finally they caught me, they found me. So he's got all the money with him, but does that man has got any kind of peace? No, he does not have any kind of peace. So what we are saying is that one is to make an effort on worldly, temporary, material, physical things with the object of looking for peace of mind and contentment of heart. It's not going to happen. So you get two groups of people, and this is what we need to understand and ask ourselves, that now that we are coming out of the month of Ramadan, which group do we belong to? Allah gave us the month of Ramadan, and have we put ourselves in the correct group? So the one group of people are those who believe very firmly and very strongly. They say, you know what, we're living in this world for a while, and when you are living here, it's a few days of life. You live only once, so you must enjoy it. You must do everything. Don't leave anything. Live life to the full. And don't have any regrets. Do whatever you want to do. And in that, we find that they go to the last resort of trying to give themselves pleasure and looking for what they think is peace of mind and contentment of heart. And they don't find it. They try one thing, then they try another thing, and then afterwards they try another. They are bored of that. And after a while, they become so fed up that they did not find it. They become so depressed. If you have to read the stories, especially of those, you know, celebrities and those stars, whichever stars they were, in whichever field they were stars, that they went and committed suicide. They tried everything. They went to women, they went to drugs. From one drug, they went to another drug, to another drug. They knew, and they know that this drug didn't work, and then they went again, you know, thinking they're progressing and getting somewhere. And afterwards, they reach a point where the cocktails that they make of these drugs also just doesn't give them that kick and that peace that they're looking for. Then they just go and they kill themselves, because that is the depression they have reached. So that is the one group of persons that you get. Their whole object is enjoy life, and they make the temporary world their object, and then they think in that they are going to get their peace of mind. They don't get it. And then you get the second group of people who know that we have got a purpose, we have been created for a short while, and this life that has been given to us is actually a capital which we are supposed to use in the most prudent of ways, very intelligently, and through this, whatever difficulties come our way, it's fine. We're going to have to experience those difficulties. Whatever goodness comes our way, we must enjoy that. It's a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end of the day, our object is not to make this world our final paradise and our final Jannah. We need to progress, and we need to make an effort, because there's another life that is coming there. So these kind of people also have difficulties. They are also undergoing all kinds of problems and whatever else it might be. But somehow, because they have made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their object, they have made the deen their way of life, the difficulties come, it comes and it goes on. They know that they are okay with whatever is happening. It doesn't even get to them. Yeah, for the outsider, if this outsider will look at it, he will think, hey, this poor fellow, he got it difficult, man. Look at him. And he's still going, reading his namaz, and he's carrying on like a, you know, he thinks that all his peace is going to be over. That person in his inner self, he knows what goodness and what pleasure and what joy he is experiencing at that point in time. You know, like when a fellow is on operating table, when he's on operating table, it's very scary, especially when they do a heart procedure on somebody. They first cut him. Then they take a saw and they open up your ribs, they cut. They showed us the CD, how they do a bypass. Now, if somebody is looking at that, he'll get very scared. And the fellow is inside, he is under anesthetic. He doesn't know what the doctors are doing to him at that point in time. They're doing a major job on him, right? But he is not experiencing any kind of pain and difficulty. So those whose hearts are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they may be undergoing all kinds of difficulties, but in reality, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that it has anesthetized them. So it's like an anesthetic. They don't find difficulty with all those things. They go through with life. They say, "Bas din din zindagi ke chand din guzarne hai. We have to just pass a few days of this world. And we have to get on. So these things come and go. It's also Allah Ta'ala's test on us. And they just go through these things. So in other words, they are so connected and linked up to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that Alhamdulillah, these things don't in any way affect them, all the difficulties. So what we are asking ourselves is that if we are people that are connected to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and we have now become close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and we are among those people that have got a link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then any difficulty that comes our way must not really affect us. We must be okay with it. Now, my respected friends and brothers, what has caused these people to have peace of mind? The second group. It is the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala has made mention of that in the Quran. That is the ayat I have recited just now. Allah says, Allah bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. That let it be known that in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only will the hearts find peace. So in other words, in all those other things we mentioned early on, those inventions and all those medications and all that, it is not found there. Worry, grief, sorrow, depression, difficulty, discomfort, pain, whatever you want to talk of, all these things will only be removed with one thing, and that is with the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how does that happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember me, I will remember you. So we remember Allah. How we remember Allah? We remember Allah. We'll discuss just now the various levels of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when someone remembers Allah, basically he's connected to Allah. And when you connect the plug into something, then the current starts flowing immediately. So you connect yourself to Allah Ta'ala, Allah says, أَذْكُرْكُمْ, I will remember you. So what is this remembering of Allah Ta'ala about us? How does Allah remember us? Allah's remembrance about us is not like how we remember. You know, our remember is like we forgot. And then we say, oh yes, now I remember. Oh yeah, I remembered now, I must, you know, connect to Allah. Allah Ta'ala is not, that's human form of remembering. When Allah Ta'ala remembers us, then it is the coming down of a very special form of mercy, in which there is a great amount of barakah, there's a great amount of blessings, there's a great amount of joy, there's an amount of tranquility, there is peace, there is pleasure, and there is a general sweetness which only that person who is experiencing it will know what he is talking about. There's a sweetness of iman which we always talk about. We quote this hadith very often, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever lowers his gaze at the time when he was invited to look at something haram for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he looks away. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then, in lieu of him turning away, fearing Allah, grant him such sweetness of iman, which will stay with him and never be taken away. So he will get a special kind of feeling of joy and ecstasy by not breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the same way, all these things that we mentioned, Allah remembers us, these are the things that come upon a person. And that, my respected friends and brothers, is what the essence of peace is. It can only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala has only kept it in one place. And when it comes, it penetrates the heart. You know, when people become sick and so forth, then they inject them in their blood vessels and they do all kinds of treatment to them so that these people can be treated. And once the thing goes in the blood vessels, and then you find the person maybe stabilized and he's calmed down, whatever it might be. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the dhikr of Allah, when it comes down, when Allah remembers us, then that remembrance has got such an effect on a person, then his anxiety, his fear, his worries, his pain, his discomfort, and whatever other grievances he's got, all those things are overcome by this particular remembrance of Allah. And Allah is remembering. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. And here also we must remember Allah says, Allah. This word Allah, not Allah, Allah, Alif, Lam, Alif. Allah means beware, take note. Like, you know, Allah is exclaiming to us and bringing to our attention that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put his remembrance. Now when you speak of the remembrance of Allah, we'll conclude on this. Then we said the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got different levels. So when you speak of the dhikr of Allah, then only one thing comes to the mind of the person, tasbih and a fellow sitting and making dhikr. That is one form of dhikr. The highest form of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this, that a person is constantly in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he is away from the obedience of Allah, then he has disconnected himself Now, when a person is obedient, then he is making dhikr, and he is at all times receiving a special peace that is coming his way. Doesn't matter whether he's wealthy or whether he's poor, whether he's sick or whether he's healthy or whether he's crippled or he's whatever it might be. He is enjoying a special kind of link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is remembering him. Who? The one who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, you know, we are in difficulty and we feel that we are going to resort to another kind of a disobedience. It will come out of our problem. Never, my brothers. We will only sink further. Because why? Because Allah ta'ala has not put the solution in that act of disobedience. Solutions are not put in acts of disobedience. Yeah, a little while, maybe outwardly we will be deceived to think, you know, we just got away, yeah. But after a while, when that thing breaks loose and when that thing goes away, whatever patch we had put, patchwork, then we come to realize that this was not the solution. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those people who turn away from his dhikr. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّذْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. That the one who turns away from my dhikr, what dhikr is this? He doesn't sit in the zikr majlis. No, it doesn't mean that. He doesn't read the 33, 33, 34, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar, after asr. No, it doesn't mean that. It means the one who resorts to my disobedience, I will give him, he'll have a life, a very constricted life in this world. He'll have a very frustrated and a very difficult and a heavy life. He will not be a happy person. He will always be edgy. He will be restless. He will always be unhappy. Leading a very unpleasant existence. Ma'ishatan dhanka means a very dark and a very labored life the poor chap will be leading because he was disobedient to Allah Ta'ala. So that is one level of making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Ramadan has taught us, it has taught us dhikr every single second of the day. As long as we were fasting, my brothers, and then because of our fast, we were conscious of not doing anything wrong. Even if you were tempted, you said, no, I'm not going to. So that is a very high, the highest form of dhikr. All the time, I can't disobey my Allah, I can't disobey my Creator. That is the highest level that we are supposed to get. Then there's another form of dhikr also, which Allah Ta'ala, for example, has put in all the a'mal that we do. Every action that a person does, it is the remembrance of Allah, every good action that is. So let us take, for example, salah. Salah is a form of dhikr. Allah says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Establish salah for my remembrance. So when a person is performing salah, in that action of his, from the time he says Allahu Akbar, he is already remembering Allah. Now somebody will say, but you know what, in namaz, my mind goes away somewhere else. That's different again. Everybody's mind goes, that's not in our control. Must try and bring it. If it doesn't, just that action of yours, you are tied down and you are confined to a certain action and ruku and sajda. You're not moving, you're not looking, you're not doing anything else. You're just doing that. You are reading all the things. That's a form of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your body is making dhikr at that time. Maybe the mind goes away somewhere else from time to time. That's so normal. And people must not become frustrated when they have this issue, you know, when they are reading salah and then they forget and they start counting all their money and they remember all the things they are supposed to have forgotten at that time. That is just normal. If you get frustrated, shaitan really gets happy. He says, okay, I sorted this person. Because he frustrates you to a point, then he will actually take you away from ibadah. So don't let that get. The mind drifts when you're driving in the highway. If you grow or go over the line, you know, you have your lanes. You just come back in the line again. You just come back in the line, and then sometimes you again drift, you come back in the line. So when we are reading namaz, sometimes we drift, you just come back, and you carry on, inshallah. And the more we practice, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will get us there. Then when we are making hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about dhikr there. Also, فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. And elsewhere also, Allah says, وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. So there also the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is mentioned. When we are in hajj, from the time we put on our ihram, on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, right through the day of Arafat, and then the day we go to Muzdalifah, and then we come back, and then the next day we come back to Mina, and all that is days of Hajj, and all that is a form of dhikr. Even after we come out of our ihram is also a form of dhikr. All those actions are dhikr. So that is also a form of dhikr. When we are fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the fasting ayahs has made mention of, in the ayah, Allah says, وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. And so glorify and express the greatness of Allah. That means, say Allahu Akbar. To say Allahu Akbar is a form of dhikr relating to fasting. So there also we find the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. So my brothers, we are actually at all times in one or other form of the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. And if a person can just have this in his mind, when he is faced with a sin and he is now tempted and everything is open, the coast is clear, he can do what he wants to. At that time, if he just remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person, my brothers, he's going to become a wali and a friend of Allah ta'ala very, very quickly. Because at that time, for him to pull back, that is a very high form of dhikr. So abstention from sin is also an act of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what happened. He immediately thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the other things. And then obviously, the other forms of dhikr and adhkar which we always make, you know, we have been taught in the madrasa, the various du'as, when we sit in the car and going, we say Bismillah, and we read Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha, when we enter in the toilet, when we came out of the toilet, before we sit down to eat. All the different occasions, those are also the different forms of dhikr. So there are different levels of dhikr, my respected friends and brothers. We are saying that we must make our heart so connected and so filled with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then only will the one who is doing it consciously feel that peace of mind. And really, we have seen people, they had every kind of difficulty, they just got a smile on their face and they overcome it. Difficulties come and go, it's like the storm clouds, they come and they go. No place storm clouds to stay forever. Sometimes they stay a little longer, sometimes they go away quickly. We don't have only cloudy days, we have sunny days also. So people have sunny and cloudy days in their life as such, with different issues and matters that come up, but in all of that, they are making the dhikr of Allah. When they are enjoying the ni'mats of Allah, they say, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they are bogged down with difficulties, they say, this is a test from Allah. We're not going to complain. So both ways, subhanAllah, that is the life of a believer. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us connected to Him. And really, my brothers, we need to be connected to dhikr. Not only this dhikr majlis, like I mentioned, this dhikr majlis we have here is just to give us a quick charge, you know, and to ta'lim, to teach ourselves, educate ourselves with dhikr. Dhikr, the different silsilas, you get the Qadri silsila, you get the Naqshbandi, you get the Chishti, and then you get the Suhawaradiyah, whichever one you are with. The mashayikh of those various orders have prescribed different modes and methods of zikr. Some of them will say, totally you must be silent. So alhamdulillah, that's also a form of zikr. Some will say you must make a loud zikr. Some will say you must make a moderate form of zikr. But all these different forms of zikr that I mentioned, these are methods. And be careful, nowadays you find a lot of all kinds of silsilas that have come up. Some of them are so scary, you'll get a shock what you see. You know, sometimes people send us clips and the fellows are making zikr and the guy is doing cartwheels and he's rolling forward, he's going backwards and running wildly in the gathering. Just watching that is so scary. If a Muslim, non-Muslim is so serious, is this Islam? What kind of Islam is this? So that is not what zikr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't make zikr like that. And the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala also used to have zikr majalis, but they weren't dancing and running in between the crowd like people who have lost their mind and what they're doing. And some of them are rolling around and doing some crazy things. Allah ta'ala protect us. So sometimes these things also, if you're not careful, then what can happen is we can go off the track. So that's why what we are saying is that we are supposed to sit down every day, make the zikr of Allah every day, allocate the time, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love and with consciousness and feel the nur of Allah ta'ala coming into our hearts in different ways. And really, the minute we said the first Allah, without any delay, the current is flowing. Like I said, the minute you put the plug in and then, you know, you put the switch on, it doesn't take 5 minutes for ESCOM to say, okay, we send the current, you put the plug on and touch some wire thereafter and see what happens after that. How quick the current comes. So the same way with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the minute we take His name, Allah mentions us in a gathering that is much, much more nobler. Allah ta'ala, Allah mentions us in His gathering, subhanallah. You know, if somebody says that some great person was speaking about you, you say, yeah, really, he spoke about me. Yeah, he took your name. You feel so nice about it. What did he say? Whatever he said. But you feel important that some great person mentioned you. So in the same way, if Allah ta'ala has mentioned us in His gathering, which is much more nobler than our gathering, and Allah's special mercy and sakina, Allah says, "Anzala sakinata alayhim," that the special form of peace and contentment and tranquility comes upon the hearts of the believers, especially those who turn to Him in dhikr. So we make dua that Allah ta'ala keep us steadfast. Like I said, we have to do this out of Ramadan. You know, out of Ramadan, our schedules go a bit off, but set aside morning and evening. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever way Don't go overboard with it. If you want, you can speak to one of the mashayikh, go to them and ask them what zikr I must make. Because sometimes people, they just find some kitab or they just hear somebody making zikr and then they do. Now, every name of Allah Ta'ala, you must remember, has got different ta'athir. Ta'athir means effect. Everyone calls it different. And the mashayikh will know exactly how to prescribe. Mashayikh means spiritual physicians. They will tell you, okay, you know what, this is how much you must read. Because many times people have gone reciting more than that, then you overdose, basically. You overdose. You take too much of it. The name has too much of effect on you. And then you find that it fries the brain and lots of other things also happen. So it's not that the name is harmful. It's the usage. Every medication, whatever is there, is good. But if a person takes it in the wrong way, or he takes too much of it, or he doesn't take it in the right doses, whatever it might be, we know what happens to him. So find out from the mashayikh. And the best dhikr that have been told to us is to read the third kalima, Astaghfirullah, Durud Sharif, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanallah, al-azim, in moderate amounts, 100 times everything. But you do it like that. And other zikrs you can just make, you know, continuously. The lighter ones, like, you know, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, read all those things. Then there are various other zikrs also. When we have difficulties, you go to a mashayikh, they'll say, okay, read this name of Allah for this difficulty, make this ayat of the Quran for this. All that falls in the category of the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Astaghfirullah, 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 alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayhi. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 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 Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa la aqibata lil muttaqin wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma antas salam wa minkas salam tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakash shukru kulluhu. La nuhsi thana'an 'alayka anta kama athnayta 'ala nafsik. La ilaha illallah al halimul karim. La ilaha illallah al halimul azim. La ilaha illa wa yuhyi wa yumiit rabbukum wa rabbu abaikum al awwalin. La ilaha illallah al-halim al-azim.
سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم صل على محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا الله we thank you يا الله for having granted us opportunity of staying over here on this night and practicing on the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam we have done it with full hope and with full iman that we are going to be from among those people who on the day when all hearts will die our hearts will be alive oh Allah that is why we stayed here oh Allah give us the opportunity at all times to do those things that will keep our heart connected to you that will keep our heart burning with your love and with your remembrance that will keep our heart alive to your obedience at all times ya Allah we make shukr to you ya Allah we do not have the words to thank you for having granted us this month of Ramadan and whatever opportunity you had granted us oh Allah we do admit that we did not do justice to the month itself We do admit that there were a lot of flaws and a lot of faults and shortcomings and weaknesses in the different forms of ibadah. Oh Allah, you are so merciful. We are not perfect. You are perfect. We are weak. We are filled with all kinds of shortcomings. So therefore we ask you, through your kindness and through your mercy, overlook all those weaknesses. And oh Allah, just pull all our good deeds up and accept them without looking at any of them. You perfect them. Perfection is in your hand. You have given perfection to everything. Oh Allah, we ask you to make our deeds perfect, the imperfect, the flawed and the weak deeds that we have sent up. Ya Allah, you remodel them and refashion them into the most perfect forms of deeds. And Ya Allah, you then become pleased upon us. And Ya Allah, you grant us your love and you love us back, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Oh Allah, we ask you through your kindness, through your bounty, through your grace, through your generosity to send down every kind of mercy on everyone that is present. Here. Everyone have got their own issues and difficulties. Oh Allah, you give them the heart and the mind to be able to deal with it with your mercy. And oh Allah, whatever difficulties they have got, you remove their difficulties. Oh Allah, you take away whatever obstacles are in their path. And Ya Allah, you open the way for each one of them and our mothers and sisters at home in the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, there are a lot of people who have requested for du'as, even on this night, people